the season 4 finale of The Originals. Oh my God, keep on watching.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Mind blown, tears shed, not gonna lie, multiple times. Yeah. You rocked this. Great selection with the song.
I picked this music.
Yeah.
I'm gonna raise the roof, hold on. Oh yeah.
Oh,
she's
good.
Cool.
Yeah,
she's
raise
hip.
The roof. Maybe even like a little, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, lock it out. Yeah.
Everyone's like, I want to be a writer after seeing her.
Yeah.
Look at those moves.
How did you know? That's what they were all thinking.
I know, totally.
You guys are back for The Originals season 4 finale episode, Feast of All Sinners. I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Sam Davidson.
Hey guys, Sam Davidson here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. And I am in the live chat tonight, so keep on chatting. And I will give you as many shout outs as I can.
Some might say you are the temporary chat mistress.
The temporary. Chat mistress, that is correct, but I just hate throwing that term around, you know, because Tiana, it's just...
Yeah, she's not here with us today, but she will be calling in because she could not resist talking about this episode, especially knowing that we have producer and writer, somebody who has been there since day one. This show, Michelle Paradise!
Woo!
Yeah! That's when we raised the roof.
I know,
yeah.
Yes, let's raise the roof.
Thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thanks
for having me, I'm excited to be here.
Somebody else that we have had on the show many a time. Michael Narducci, he says that you are the absolute best, that anything that happens on the show, he's like, it's because of her. She's done it all. I was like, well, then we have to get her in here. So thank you so much for joining
Mike
us.
Mike is very kind.
This was an incredible episode.
Yeah.
It was gut-wrenching.
Yes.
And also kind of happy in a lot of different ways. I was excited that you guys left us with this, if it had been the series finale, some hope to it, and some devastating moments.
Yeah, we had... that's the interesting thing. When we started the season, we didn't know, is it going to be a season finale or a series finale? And when you start thinking and following where the characters are going, you kind of want to do a little bit of both, and we wanted then to feel, like, have a little moment of happiness, because it's so tragic otherwise.
Were there some moments where you were thinking, okay, if this is series finale, then we really shouldn't throw this in, or if this is season finale, then it's okay, we should push it, or were there things that got cut because of that?
Because even after we finished this work back in December, so we still didn't even know. But for me, I don't know how everyone else feels about it, but I feel like it was satisfying either way. Of course, I'm thrilled that we get to season 5, and I'm super excited about all the stories that we get to tell, but I think it was a perfect mix of both.
I agree.
I feel like it's probably a difficult job as a writer and a producer to be able to serve both potential opportunities.
Yeah.
Was that really difficult for you in a way to kind of talk people through it and think that this storyline will be enough for fans? Or did you just do what was natural, you thought?
It was a combination of both. So if it had been our series finale, of course we want the people who love the show to feel satisfied and to feel like each character got their due and to feel like, oh, I know where these characters... I can imagine where these characters would be in 15 or 20 or 100 years. And of course, if it's just the season finale, we want to leave people wanting more and asking a lot of questions and wondering, oh my gosh, what could happen in a season 5
right.
or 6 or 7 or whatever. But it's hard to sort of figure all of that out, but I feel like we got there organically, and all of the discussions in the room were always, well, what would the next natural course of action be for these characters? And I feel really satisfied by the ending. I loved it.
I mean,
I knew what was coming, and I was sat there on Friday, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was me, too. Gosh, it was really tough. It was the tears, for sure.
Yeah.
So before we get into this episode, before we really break it down, we are a show that talks about ships a lot.
Mm.
All these different ships. And as we were walking in
like the Titanic?
Yeah, like the Titanic, exactly.
You've never heard that joke before, have you?
No, that was the first
time. Oh, excellent. I'm glad. I'm bringing, like, the dad joke or something.
The raising the roof and the Titanic jokes, it's just like, you're here to stay now.
Thank
That's
you.
Your permanent seat.
Like, I'm so cool.
So it is interesting though, because you were walking in and you were like, yeah, I don't really do ships, but that moment or something like that. And similar to our friend Mr. Narducci over there, who doesn't do ships either, can you talk to me about that? Because
sure.
How do you not get attached to the ships?
Well, it's a really interesting balance. We're attached to the characters and we love the characters and we love their journeys and their relationships, but it's hard to get attached to the ships because you have to follow where the characters are naturally going. And some characters are naturally going to stay together for a little bit and then they're going to break up and get back together, or maybe they'll get with someone else. And you can't get so attached that you're not willing to follow the story where it needs to go. So we all just, I mean, I'm sure some folks in the room have their own ships. I don't want to speak for them. But for me, it's easier to just really just look at the characters and where they need to be and enjoy the ships while they're there. And then, you know, and then if they need to break off, kind of go with that.
What about Twitter? How does that affect it? Because I feel like everybody's tweeting at you yes. guys being like, Elijah for life, yes. or no, we still miss Jaylee, whatever it is. Does yeah. that actually affect the writer's room?
Well, we're aware of it because we get those tweets, but
how could you not be aware of it?
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't affect story. It doesn't, because we're not looking at social media and for direction for where to go. It like we have strong leadership in the room with Mike and with Julie, and we all have a clear vision for where to go, and we have a very clear vision for what we want for any given season. And so we appreciate so much that people are passionate. And that's the thing that I take away from all of the Twitter stuff that I get and that everyone else gets, is people are passionate about these ships, and that's wonderful. That tells us that we're doing something right. Whether we go in a particular direction with a romance or not, I don't think it could be driven by that, because people change all the time and there are so many different opinions out there. And how do you take one opinion and not another opinion? So we just try and appreciate the fact that people are so excited about it and then follow the characters where they need to go.
I feel like even on a subconscious level, though, Claroline, the Caroline Klaus ship.
Heard of Claroline.
Okay,
I'm totally kidding. I've heard of Claroline.
I love Claroline so much, but I'm trying not to make this about it. But it's the one that I know most because I'm a huge Claroline shipper.
Yes.
And I am curious because I feel like if there hadn't been millions of tweets over the years, that everybody, Julie, don't forget about Claroline. Julie, sure. remember Claroline? Then she wouldn't have included a Claroline moment in the finale. So I do feel like the fans do have a voice sometimes and saying, you know, we love this ship. This is who we want. Even if they don't end up together, you guys tend to pay homage to those ships.
Sorry, and what I should clarify is it's not that we're like that kind of awareness is a great thing. I just mean that that a lot of the tweets, if that was not a direction to go, then like if getting two characters together was not a direction to go, we wouldn't go that direction simply because we were getting tweets about it. But certainly people are aware of Claroline and Haylijah and I'm going to, Claylee and,
Claylee.
Like, yes. I'm trying to remember all the ones right now. We're certainly aware of all of that and super appreciative of that. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And like, I mean, we're human beings and we're passionate and we have our own ships for whatever other shows we watch. And, you know, it's just, that can't be the driver of storytelling, because then we're writing to the audience as opposed to the characters. And it feels like the characters is where we need to live.
Yeah. I understand that. But also, you were on since day one.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. And I feel like when a show like this starts, that's a supernatural drama. You know, it's a centuries long, these people have lived, and everyone believes in true love. You know, someone's meant to be their end game.
Yeah.
And I feel like especially this, the pilot of the originals, which was, you know, the backdoor pilot on The Vampire Diaries. So it, in a way, wasn't a normal pilot.
Right.
But so many things were established in there that I feel like we are still holding on to.
Yeah. So, and we should be, because you guys remind us all the
time. Yeah,
absolutely. And that stuff is wonderful. Like, Haylee and Elijah in the backdoor mm-hmm. pilot and then in the first episode of the series. Like, you set up those things. These are, I was thinking also of just Klaus and Elijah. That's not really a ship, but that's
it's a ship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a brother ship.
It's not a romance ship. But it's those kinds of things that are set up and that you come to expect. And then you love seeing those characters in a room together, whatever is happening. And, you know, Klaus and Elijah or Haylee and Elijah or whomever. Yeah.
So the writer's room feels like they do have to kind of circle back, even if they're not going to say these are the end, like they're going to be together forever. I feel like they at least need to circle back to these characters, because that's who introduced to.
For sure. Those were the relationships that were established at the very beginning. And those are the ones that we're continuing to look at moving forward. So
I like that answer.
Me too. All right. Let's break down this episode.
Oh, fantastic.
So Vincent's kind of our man.
By the way, meanwhile, I'm getting angry tweets from people who were saying, why didn't you zap her?
I think people are probably thrilled with that answer.
Oh, excellent.
I think people are like, they're listening to us, they hear us, we matter. That's what fans want to feel like, and you guys do an amazing job showing that. Okay, so Vincent has really been the catalyst from this season. I feel like his character is just, let's do it, we're going. Yeah. He's a little harder, he's a little tougher, he knows what he has to do. And in tonight's episode, he was brutally tough with this plan. Coming into this week, I was not expecting this. I knew he had said that Always and Forever would be no longer, that we had to split up. But we brainstormed on the show, what does that mean? What could that possibly mean?
Yeah, I think last week I kind of got it half right. I said someone else, one of the siblings, the Hollow's going to be put in them. But I didn't think all of them.
Right. That, never could we have imagined that. What was that decision like in the room? Actually, we have to go in all four because scientifically speaking, right? Like, how did you guys come to that?
Well, we brought in a PhD to come talk to the room about... No, I'm kidding.
I believed her. I'm sitting there and I go, oh my God, really?
Groundlings trained, so just don't follow me.
Hey, I just started my first class there.
Excellent. Yay. It's so fun. Yeah, enjoy. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah.
It was really, so again, thinking at the beginning of the season, thinking about if this is a series finale or whatever the season finale is, what is a way that our characters have not been challenged yet? And what is the way that we can challenge them the most? And for our characters from day one, well, 1,000 years ago, day one, it's always been Always and Forever. And Rebecca even says it in the season finale. It's no matter how far we've gone from one another, we've always come back. We can't help but come back. And whether they've gone off on their own accord or whether it's because Klaus stuck a dagger in them and put them in a box for 80 years, they always come back together. And so we were looking at, well, in terms of challenges for the season, what could be the biggest challenge to this family? Well, what if you challenge Always and Forever? What if they face a villain that forces them to be apart when they always want to be together? What does that look like and what does that do to them? And gosh, what kind of finale would that be?
Right.
But also in that, I just want, like, giving them moments after, like those kind of coda moments where mm-hmm. we see where they go, and you'll probably get there
later.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that in a little.
Yeah, but that's where it came from.
It's kind of wild to me, though, because as somebody who is not a mom and not an aunt, I was surprised how quickly they all signed on to this. There was no question. It was like, we are doing this for hope. If this is the only way, if Vincent claims this is the only way, then all right, we're all going to be in.
Yeah. Well, was it Rebecca or Elijah that said, I think it was Rebecca that said, maybe this is the redemption that we'll all need. And someone else said, haha, you really think that this is going to get us off the hook kind of thing.
But karma points.
Yeah. In a way, if it was the ending, it would have been the perfect, beautiful ending because they have done so much wrong. And to sacrifice themselves for not only hope, but the better good. I mean, she can really help the world one day.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We love her.
Oh, she's great.
Having her.
I know you had her on last week.
Yeah.
She's
was
fantastic.
The cutest.
Oh, she's so great.
She melted my heart. And I was reading, I think it was with Hollywood Reporter, a Michael Martucci interview, and he said, if you get one thing from this interview, mark my words, that girl is going to be a mega star.
Yeah,
she was like,
fantastic.
Of all the things I'm taking away, that is that. And she, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the, just over the course of the season, all the things that she was asked to do performance-wise. Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal. Especially in this episode.
Exactly. She leads an entire congregation in this episode, and the eyes on her, the look, scare the crap out of me.
I know.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe. And when we ask her, she's like, I just picture somebody I really don't like.
I know.
Why don't more actors just do that then?
I know. I'm afraid, like, do the dishes.
That's
probably where it comes from.
I know. I said, I was like, I don't want to make you mad, Summer.
I know.
So she brings back Dominic, and they're ready to rock. They've got this whole plan. They're about to take over. And then I'm so glad we had our team up, because all season I've been screaming at the TV, like, I get it. Elijah ripped your heart out, Marcel, but we got to get over it because we have to be able to work together. Was there any moment, Sam, that you had when you were watching this where you were thinking, they're not paired up? Marcel's really coming in here to work with Hope.
You know what? You know, I sometimes am naive and I like things being closed up and having a happily ever after and ending. So I didn't, but I could have. If it was the plan, I would have just been totally surprised and my heart would have been broken, because I want to believe that everyone can come back together and make some kind of peace before they don't potentially ever see each other again. So I did really feel an authenticity in that moment that I never felt before with their very violent exchanges in the past season.
Yeah, I loved the scene for that reason. It felt...
When they went into the church.
Perfect.
And, yeah.
When they walk in.
Yeah.
Because even though we got the setup... And we knew from Josh that they were that he was going to convince them to be able to work with the originals. I thought that it was so wonderful that after knowing what was at stake here, after seeing the dark objects and all of this, I still had this ping in my stomach, like, what if this is Marcel's revenge tour? Mm-hmm. What will happen then?
Yeah.
And I was so glad how quickly we were like, nope, here come the originals. Yeah. We are planning this.
Well, I think that's the thing is because that moment is really about hope, because hope has been taken over. It's this little 7-8-year-old girl, this innocent child who has been taken over by something. And, you know, Marcel and Hope are really kind of siblings in a way. Klaus is father in some ways to both of them. And so to me, it makes total sense that that they would put all of their grievances behind them to work together to save her.
Yeah.
Because she's the most important thing.
It's the only thing I think that would make sense to bring them together. And there was nothing else.
Yeah.
I also will say that if Marcel were to take Elijah out, it wouldn't have been in this moment that was Elijah wouldn't have really cared. Do you know what I mean? If Marcel goes, I'm going to kill you, he probably would have said, honestly, I deserve it. I'm so done, whatever. Because he did ask for everything to be wiped out of his memory.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have been quite ready. I think he had a couple more goodbyes to say, but I do hear you on this. So we get our team up, and then even more information is revealed. Vincent, you sneaky dog, you. I was shocked he decided to share this with Haley, what the real plan was. He was like, you've got to get out. This whole season's kind of been building up to that. Mm-hmm. Haley, we know who you love. We know that you're part of this family, but it's too dangerous, and you have to leave. Were you guys, you obviously knew, but Sam, were you surprised that this was something that he shared?
I was and I wasn't, because I felt as though Vincent was a bit stiff the last couple episodes as far as this is the rules, this is the only thing we can do, and that's it. And I, you know, thought to myself, well, wait, can't Vincent have a little emotion in this? I know he kind of hates them, but this is the part where I go, okay, here is the Vincent that does care about people and is giving them a heads up.
Yeah, and well, and also for Vincent, you know, the Hollow took everything from him.
Everything.
I mean, we saw that earlier in the season. And so for him, getting the Hollow out and keeping it out and keeping it away from New Orleans is the most important thing. And I think he knows our family well enough to know that always and forever is always and forever. And when it comes to Hope, they will always not only try to find a way back to one another, but to her. And so he had to go to Haley and say, look, when he was saying to her, you have to get her, you have to go, it was as much for protecting Hope as it was for protecting New Orleans, because Vincent is a New Orleans witch. He's a New Orleans guy. His city is always going to be something that he tries to protect.
I love that you mentioned how he's been stripped of all of these things, though. And we kind of forget that when we're thinking about Vincent, because we've lived with the originals for so long that we don't remember. Vincent has had these horrible things take place. How long had you guys been planning this storyline? Because what happened with his wife and what happened with him, that wasn't this season. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was that last season?
I think even season two or three.
Might have been, yeah.
So and everything that had happened with the murdering of the kids.
Yeah.
Did you guys know this was going to be where that ended up? That it was going to come back full circle like this?
No, we knew that. You know, we knew that we had this character who had a piece of his history that was really hard, really challenging. It made him give up magic for quite a long time. And when this season came around, and we were talking about the villain, the Hollow for this season, it made sense that that's what it was. That was the thing that they had gotten into. And you know, it came from him. It came from a good, a more noble place of wanting to protect the witches in the face of the things that were happening to their community in New Orleans. But he got in too far, and then he got his wife in too far, and all of these tragic things happened. So we weren't, back then when we introduced it, we weren't necessarily thinking about the Hollow, but we knew that it was going to be something darker and evil. And then when the season came up, it all fit together.
That was brilliant.
You know what would be really interesting? And I mean, I know it's not going to happen, but even an episode just through Vincent's eyes, because it's a completely different story.
Right.
And we are siding with kind of all of these evil people, we as an audience, because this is who we're following, this is who we love. But if we were to follow Vincent for a couple episodes, I think it would kind of turn around for us.
I do think we kind of got a little bit of that tonight, and I'm jumping ahead for a second, but when he has been so hard and so harsh, and he finally looks at them and says, thank you. Thank you, because what you guys are doing, I know you're doing it because of Hope, but also it's helping so many people you don't even know, and I appreciate that regardless of our differences. And that was a cool glimpse into his POV there. And I agree with you, Sam. I think he's a fascinating character.
Yeah, he is.
I don't think we could even do the show without him as well, because the originals, we get so bogged down and like, these are the right people, and then you get somebody like Vincent and it's like, wait a second, Yeah. Are the originals right here? Because everybody else's life is at risk.
Yeah.
So are they doing the right thing?
Yeah, he's become a really interesting moral compass for us in terms of, you know, because the original, the Michelson family, is our, they're the leads of our show. They're the people that we follow. We often forget that when they're causing murder and mayhem that they're doing bad things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have a character like him come in who has a very strong moral point of view and can stand up to them. He's also someone who can stand up to them and say no and say you're doing that. That is a wrong thing to do and really push back on them in a way that other characters may not be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that note, should we give T a call?
Yeah. Let's get Tiana on the phone because I know she definitely is going to want to
talk about just, this next part.
Yeah, just in time. Just in time to get to some of the meat of the episode.
Excellent.
Let's hit her up. Okay, Mark, let me know when she's on the line. Until then, talking a little bit about Haley and what she was able to do in this week. Yes, Haley. Yeah. Thank you for not keeping this secret.
Yeah.
I feel like, T, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh my gosh. T,
hi.
Break this down with us. So
hi,
right
guys.
Now, we're talking about Haley's decision to come clean to Klaus after she heard Klaus talking to Hope, which was freaking adorable, by the way, but why she did come clean and how much she has grown and how a year ago even, I don't feel like she would have made the same choice.
Right. Well, I would just say how much Klaus has grown as well. Like, if you look at the very beginning of our show, this was a guy who, he didn't want a woman who was pregnant. He didn't want a kid. Elijah had to convince him to essentially not kill them and to stay in New Orleans and do the right thing. And, you know, they have just had so much conflict over the course of the last four seasons that to see her trust him in a way. And for me, the moment that made it was when she said, "You're a good dad." Like, I really loved that moment. It just showed a lot of growth for both of them, I think.
And that he deserved to know. Yeah. T, what did you think about this episode, and what did you think about that moment in particular?
Okay, starting with that moment, I thought that moment was great because I loved that Haley knew that he was a good enough father and that he has grown. Like Michelle was just saying, that Klaus is not that same. Oops, sorry. Okay, I'm back. That Klaus isn't the same father that he used to be, or the person that he used to be, and now that Hope is there, that is his priority. Because a season ago, if Vincent had withheld that information, the first thing Klaus would have done was probably snap his neck. But he's mature now, and as a father, he knows that this is the right decision for his daughter. And then going back to, because I've been watching you guys' review from my phone, so great job so far, ladies.
We look very tiny, don't we? Our heads are this big.
I know. First of all, I cried crocodile tears, like broken heart during this whole episode. And I just want to say, Michelle, that bravo to you guys for this season and for this show, because I don't know what it is about this season in particular, maybe because, you know, it was uncertain if there was going to be another season of it or not. But I really feel that the show has been elevated to the point of, I don't look at it as vampires and witches anymore. Yes, there's the supernatural element. But when you're really watching this show, it's about a family trying to stay together. And I think that's what really touched my heart in this finale was, like, I'm watching this family be torn apart that loves each other so much, that wants to stay together. Yeah. But they can't.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And kudos to Mike Narducci, who wrote the episode and is just a phenomenal, phenomenal man, writer, showrunner, and Bethany Rooney, who directed it. They did just an amazing job. I was telling them, you probably heard because you were watching our tiny heads on your phone, I was part of the breaking of all of that. I'd seen it before, and even watching it again on Friday night, I was teary-eyed as well at all of those places, I think probably that you were too. And I knew what was coming. So that's to me, testament of the work that Mike and Bethany and all of our actors did in that finale. I thought it was wonderful.
Definitely 100% agree with that. And just, I'm still speechless because all the emotions are still stirring inside of me.
T, I don't know how long you have, but go ahead and talk about, because we'll jump around. So if you only have a little bit, talk about whatever it is you want to get out there. I know you've got the feels.
She has a lot to get out. I can tell by her voice.
Yeah.
No, I just want to say, too, that because I'm reading in the chat right now, too, and they were all talking about Elijah and how his memory kind of got taken away from him and stuff like that. And I just thought that it was as sad as it is for him to have to, you know, not hold all those memories in his mind anymore. It was great to see him able to relax. And I mean, he's playing piano in like a jazz club in France. You know, he's not wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Which, when have we ever seen Elijah not in a suit? It was just great to kind of see him without the pressure of having to keep his family and especially Klaus in line and in check, him just be able to relax and enjoy life a little bit.
I am so surprised to hear you say that, Tiana.
I
thought she was going to be Team Roxy on this one because I can't believe Marcel went through with it. I can't believe he actually took away Elijah's memories and compelled him. This is something that we've seen before on Vampire Diaries, and we know that you can really, really hurt somebody and affect them negatively. I can't believe that he did this. And it wasn't even like, give me, if you still want to come back in a month. He just did it. And I feel like part of this was payback for ripping his heart out. He was like, all right, man, if you want it, then you want it.
I feel like it was, too. And this is so weird, but I was visiting family this weekend. She's watching the Vampire Diaries. She's plugging through, and we watched those episodes the last two nights I did with Elena when Alaric took her memory away, and I just watched them. And when I was watching this episode, I go, holy crap, this is what Alaric did to Elena. But again, Marcel isn't, you know, hey, see me whenever you want if you want these back, bro. No.
I think, I respectfully allow all opinions. I will just say, I think, for me anyway, it was because of what Vincent said, you four have to take this thing, you have to go away, you have to go away for good, you can't ever come back. And, you know, at one point earlier, Klaus said to Elijah, right before they went in to do the thing, Klaus said, I think this is going to be hardest on you because you have been the keeper of the always and forever. You've been the keeper of the family bond, essentially. And so I think everyone had a sense that it would be hardest on Elijah and that if anyone was going to break it, I think Elijah knew that himself. If anyone was going to break it, it would be him.
Do you think if Klaus hadn't said that, Elijah still would have had his memories wiped? Or was it Klaus saying that that really had it sink in for Elijah and made him go through with this?
That's a wonderful question. I leave that open to anyone's interpretation. But to me, when Elijah and Marcel had that moment, and interpretation, whatever, for me it was not any kind of payback. To me it read or it felt like kind of like a genuine and almost sweet moment between the guys. Like Marcel doing the one thing that Elijah could not do for himself, not only to protect Elijah from himself, but to protect Hope and the rest of the family from his inability to let go of always and forever and his inability to let go of his commitment to family. And I think, you know, for Elijah to make that kind of extreme request to forget it all when he is the keeper of that flame, to me just says how much he needed that. And I had a lot of respect for Marcel for following through and letting that happen.
Let's talk about Elijah for a second here, because...
Did you say Elijah or Halijah?
Halijah.
Halijah.
This is a hard goodbye. Not only does he have to say goodbye because he knows that he cannot be with Hope or cannot be with Haley, but now he has to say goodbye because he knows he will no longer remember what was.
Right.
And that makes it... Watching it back for a second time made it so much more meaningful to me when he does decide to say goodbye to her, because at that point... I interpreted it that he knows what he's about to do.
Yeah.
And that was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
We've gone through Jaylee. Sorry, Tiana, I know I can't mention that ship without you crying still. I'm so
in
sorry.
In tears already, Roxy, yeah. Thanks.
Oh, no. We've gone through all... Clearly, we've gone through all these things to get to Halijah, and it felt like it was finally going to work, and then they both were ready to say goodbye for their separate reasons. And I didn't think I was going to be as emotionally affected by that because I like them just fine, but they're not the one that I'm like rooting for die hard.
Right.
But this felt really sad.
Yeah.
It felt really sad.
Well, he has loved her they've loved each other for a very long time, and they got to that point. And I think that's part of what his decision was, is he knew that part of the going away is not just letting go of his family, but letting go of her for the good of everybody. And so to make that sacrifice, and again, this is just getting back to Marcel for a second, but allowing him to do the thing that would help Elijah make the sacrifice. But yeah, that was a hard thing to see them say goodbye in that final moment of knowing we're two pieces that are just not.
Yeah. Well, what was the most heartbreaking part about it was after they agreed that this was not going to work and they needed to go their separate ways, they said, I love you, and they kissed, which hurts even more. If they would have just go, you know, this isn't working anymore. We're done. But, yeah, it's that love between them that's still there, that's still present, which again is another thing I'm hoping they're planting for, you guys are planting for the next season to potentially go back to that, because they didn't leave like they didn't love each other.
Yeah, I think they definitely left the door open on purpose there. Changing topics for a second, Tiana, Cole coming back, were you expecting that or not?
If Cole hadn't have come back, I would have been very disappointed in him.
Me too.
I knew we were waiting, and you know the anxiety was there. I was like, he's got to show up, always and forever, family first. Like he's gonna show up. He's gonna show up.
And Freya's about to become a vampire. Nervous. What?
But how badass is it that Freya was willing to do that?
I know, she's badass.
I've kind of had some qualms with her this season because I'm like, Freya, get it together. You're not the mean one in the group, and she's become so hardened too. But all of a sudden, I feel like I see exactly who she is. She's taking Always and Forever, and she's catching up on it.
Yeah.
She's like, they've been playing Always and Forever for a real long time. Right. I've got to really step up.
Yeah.
The fact that she was willing to lose her powers and become a vamp, what bigger sacrifice is there?
Yeah. This is jumping back to a different episode, but there was a moment that, when you were talking about Freya, in terms of her journey over the course of the season, episode 10, the Red Door episode, which was written by Casey and Kyle, who are two phenomenal writers. There's a moment where Freya's going through, she opens the Red Door, and she sees the family at a dinner table. And they're just having a fun family moment. And you just see her face, and it's the moment of everything that she has missed, because she wasn't part of the family, because she had been taken away. And I think part of this moment, this stuff with her in this season, this episode in particular, and being willing to make that sacrifice, is because she never got to have that, and she finally has that, and she is willing to be the keeper of that flame now that she can be part of it as well, and she loves them and loves that.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I was very pleasantly surprised, and I felt the same way as you, Roxy, and when Freya did that, I go, whoa, really? That's so cool.
Yeah. And then there was nothing better than Freya and Keelan, kind of Freya being like, I don't know, should I do this? And Keelan not being like, no, you better not.
Ew, her, vampire, ew.
Her just being supportive and being like, I'm going to love you no matter what. Yeah. And then not only Keelan being supportive of Freya, but then Rebecca being supportive, having that sister moment, being like, listen, family's important,
right,
but so is love. Don't mess this up.
Yeah.
Both of them supporting
that
her
was
so
great.
Hard. I was like, yeah. Go women. It was awesome.
Yeah,
I love that. T, any thoughts on Freeland? Should I keep rhyming it?
Yeah.
No.
No, please don't do the rhyming again.
Freeland got Freeland. I totally did that.
I was kind of excited to see maybe a vampire Freya, because, you know, then we'd have another vampire werewolf couple like Josh and
Aiden.
You know.
Aiden.
It would be like a mini reunion of that. So I was a little excited, but I was also like very happy that, you know, Cole showed up, because he needed to be there. This was a family thing. And I was like, Cole, you already hate them anyways. Like, most of the time you don't want to be around them anyway, so this should be the easiest decision for you.
Right.
I love that Cole
be able to stay away from your family.
I love that Cole had no questions about it too. He wasn't like, so he's gonna be what now living inside me?
Yeah, he was
where do I have to go?
He's like, I've lived a long time. This is gonna be fine. Yeah. Whatever. I'm with Davina. I don't care what you guys do to me.
And all the notes in his pocket were getting a bit annoying, apparently.
He was bothered by that for sure. He's awesome. It was great to have him back in the finale too.
Fantastic.
He's such a great performer.
Yeah.
Even though I miss Davina, at least we got to see her little face
pop
up on the phone. That was almost enough for me.
Yeah.
T, before we let you go, any thoughts about where they are now when we fast forward to seeing them in their separate corners of the world?
I thought it was great that we got to see everyone. I love the Klaus and Elijah moment. That was a very nice tip, by the way.
That $100
bill. He's the $100 guy.
Yeah.
$100.
Yeah. $100 tip. That's pretty nice. And I mean, the two things that just got me giddy inside were, of course, Marcel and Rebecca, because who hasn't been waiting for that to happen for seasons and seasons? And they're in New York, and he finally, you know, just plants a big, juicy, wet one on her mouth. And I'm like, yes, I live for this.
And then,
of course, seeing Hope at the Salvatore School, which just leads into all of what can be next season and seasons to come, because that just makes me so excited to see what's going on over there, and, you know, the prospect of seeing Caroline and Klaus around each other.
Caroline, forever. T, thanks so much for calling in. I'm sorry that you couldn't be here with us today, but we miss you, we love you, and thanks for calling into the show.
And nice to meet you sort of by microphone.
Yes, I'm so sad I'm not there, Michelle, to meet you in person, but thank you for coming, and hopefully next season we can have you back again when I can
be there.
Absolutely.
You have to see my in-person dance.
The Raising the Roof is really cool. Yeah, it's way cooler in person than it was on the little phone, I swear.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, tiny hands. Yeah. Tiny face.
All right, bye, T.
I can't wait.
Bye, T.
All right, so breaking down what she was just talking about, the end of this episode. Yeah. So we're really all over the place. We're in Mystic Falls. We're in San Francisco. We're in New York. We're in France, where we always wanted to be.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to come back into play when you guys dropped that a few episodes ago.
It's almost like we planned it.
It is almost like that. Let's start with the Mystic Falls one, actually, because this one we've been wanting all season. Since Alaric came on, we've been like, this has to happen. Yeah. This is genius. This is brilliant. I love that we got a little tidbit of it.
That was great. And it was a great place for Hope to go, not only, you know, getting her out of New Orleans, but also she has the potential to be the most powerful creature, person, witch, everything in the world. And so having her go to a place where she can get, you know, the proper training. What did they say? Was it Haley or somebody who made a joke on broomsticks or something?
Yeah.
I doubt that there would be broomsticks.
Well, Lark said, maybe a little bit.
All right, question, because I have seen a lot of tweets about this, and I feel like this is not something that we are going with, but I do have to ask.
Okay.
Now that Haley and Elijah are done, and now that Alaric is seemingly available, people were saying that they are already starting to ship them in that moment.
Shipping Haley and
Alaric.
Alarily.
Alarily.
That's a little less elegant.
Yep, that was hard. So was that the intention at all, or do these actors just have chemistry because they're actors and they are able to have conversations?
Can't.
I don't know. They did the scene, and if there's chemistry, there's chemistry. Oh. And I don't know how to answer that. I don't know
that. Just like that.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah, leave it mysterious.
I felt guilty for thinking that. I'm so glad you brought it up, because I was afraid to. Because when a man and a woman get in a scene together, I hate it automatically. They go, oh, well, they're both single, or they have chemistry, you know, are they going to be together?
Yes.
Exactly. But there was a look. There was that tiny moment of the look between them.
I cared way more about the look that Haley gave Hope, which was a look of...
You go, girl.
She was just so happy that her daughter was with kids.
Yeah.
And she wasn't saving people, and she wasn't bleeding out of her eye sockets. Yeah. And she was just with kids that liked her.
It's what she's wanted all season long.
Yeah.
Is just for Hope to have a normal life. She didn't want Hope to be part of any of all of this. And so I love that for her as well. I love that moment.
That moment was really, really strong. Other strong moments, San Francisco.
I know, with the Paragon Diamond.
Colvina for the win here. I told you we're a ship show.
Excellent.
Can you imagine nowadays somebody walking in with this diamond and being like, yeah, so I just want, you know, earrings, necklace, and a big engagement ring.
Make it into a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody owning a shop would be like,
sure, okay.
Okay.
I'm guessing he probably compelled the guy to not do that.
Yeah. I love that, though, and I love that it seems like him and Davina are going to get somewhat of a happy ending.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
It's really sweet.
She's died. He's been daggered more times than we can count. Yeah. They've both been to hell and back, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
They're in love. And he no longer gets to be with his siblings anymore, which I don't even frankly think he cares about.
Yeah,
because he's I just want to be with Davina. What is wrong with that?
And there was a little, this is just a little Easter egg-y thing, if you will. If you look back, so the Paragon Diamond was originally in the stash of dark objects. So when Marcel and Sophia are looking at all of that, and you're really going to give these over to the Michelsons, the Paragon Diamond was part of that. There was a moment that that didn't end up making it in for time, where Marcel essentially tells Cole, look after her for me. Mm-hmm. And so in our minds, in Mike's mind, Marcel and Cole had a moment, and he gave Cole the Paragon Diamond. So that's where Cole got it from. So they did get to have a final moment, the two of them, before Cole went off with Davina.
I love that.
Yeah. Go back and watch that scene. You'll see it in there somewhere.
Thank you. Wow. I feel like that was such a gift, because I will probably go do that tonight.
Yeah, and go check that out. Okay, so let's jump over to New York City then.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Right?
This made it...
That was Harry Met Sally to me a little bit, when Harry Met Sally. Like, those two, it's like, they've been back.
Oh, yeah, that was the New Year's Eve moment.
The payoff was so worth the wait.
Yeah.
Watching that kiss, that I just feel like we have earned. I feel like I've worked for that. Sam feels like she's worked for that.
I do. I'm like, it's going to be okay for me, too, if it's going to work out for them, you know?
The last kiss.
We can all have hope now.
The last kiss felt, I mean, it was amazing, but it felt dirty and wrong, and they both ran away, and this kiss was like, holy crap, I think we're doing this.
Yeah.
We've been in love for centuries, and we poke fun at the other people, and I pretend I don't know Sophia's name, fine.
Yeah.
But we're going to do this.
Yeah.
That was, wow, yeah. How did you guys decide that that was finally going to be? Was it because you guys thought this might be the series finale and you were like, we have to give them something, or was it just time?
Well, it was a combination of all of those things. It was also, you know, this terrible thing has happened. They have to go off. They have to go their separate ways. They have to be without family. And so we also thought, well, we can't leave them in that place. Like, we want to also give them, like, a little bit of the happiness as well. And so for Rebecca, she's always loved Marcel, and Marcel has always loved her. And so, well, if she has to go, what might he do? Maybe he would just show up on a street in New York City and kiss her.
And not in New Orleans, because he doesn't love New Orleans more than her.
Right. Yes!
Yeah.
Which she thought he did, but he doesn't!
And also, you know, it's the speech earlier in the episode where he, you know, you are good enough. And he and Klaus had that moment of, you know, I didn't want you to be with my sister because I thought no one, you would love them, or you would love her more than me, and who can love someone if they still, you know, all of that. I just
thank you for bringing that moment up.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite moment in the entire episode.
Great.
I mean, the two of them on screen, whenever they're in a room, you cannot look at anything else. They're incredible, but the fact that Klaus finally came out and said, I didn't do what I should have done as a parent to you, and I'm sorry, and this wasn't because you weren't good enough, it was because I was worried that I wouldn't have your affection.
It explains so much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the it's Klaus's sort of deep insecurity that stems from having been rejected by his own father and his own family and all of that because of his own nature. And he's just deeply afraid of people leaving him. And it's part of the, you know, dagger them, stick them in a box, carry them along with, because then they can't leave him.
Yeah.
And for him to admit that to Marcel, I thought was wonderful. And I also thought that was helpful for Marcel in terms of, I can go do this now. Like, no one's going to be coming after me. No one's going to wag their finger at me and say I shouldn't do this.
Wow, I love that moment. And then Klaus going and seeing Elijah in France.
Yeah.
So I just have to say something. The chat has been, I mean, I think it's hilarious.
Yes.
So Nicholas Kelly says, is it just me or did Elijah get off a little easy? I mean, he basically pulled an Elena memory wipe season 6 instead of owning up to his own damn mistakes like Catherine. But then there was other comments about this scene that said it seemed like Elijah thought that Klaus was cruising him. LOL.
Cruising him, like, when he put,
yes. And there were in the chat that were like, yeah, a little bit. Because he looks, Elijah looks at Klaus, you know, maybe I that's what I got. How do I know you? But I could see how some, it's just kind of funny.
I didn't even.
And you left me $100. What is it?
I kind of got, like, anytime anybody, stranger or not, would leave you $100, you would look twice at them.
Right.
No matter who it was, which is why it was a great excuse. Because whether it is, do I know him, or a weird sense, we could always just chalk it up to, dude just left me a $100 tip. I'm going to look at him and give him a nod.
But, I mean, can Klaus literally not help himself by seeing his siblings? Is he hopping around the world, you know, just doing little drop-ins, doing something that they'll like, and then disappearing?
I think it's Elijah. I think it was Elijah he wanted to check in on. I don't think it was, he's going to go see Cole. Mm-hmm. I think he doesn't really care that much about that.
Hey, Cole, how's it going? Yeah. I don't care. Never mind.
Yeah, that's how the scene goes in my mind.
Yeah.
But I think that it was Elijah. He knows that Elijah's always checked on him, and he wants to make sure. Now, what I was curious about in that moment was, is Klaus aware what Elijah did, of what Elijah did wiping his memories?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you would have to assume that if...
otherwise, he wouldn't have gone.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone. Yeah.
And so I assume the same thing. So did Marcel call him? How does he know? Marcel must have said it. What's going on with Marcel and Klaus? Are they still BFF? Do they talk on the phone? That's what's in my mind.
Well, my question, too, was, you know, we got the little where they were, each city that they were in, but we didn't get a time. as far as how long this has been. And we will never know because they're vampires and they don't age.
And we know we're jumping time to next season. Yes. So, all right, we have a quick prediction segment. We only have like a minute for this.
But... your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
As our predictions, instead of that, we'll just pick your brain. So
fantastic.
We're getting a time jump. What does that mean? Where are we picking up? What's going
Flying
on?
Flying cars, UFOs.
I was figuring,
Aborted by aliens.
Got it. Cool.
We're looking at doing like a 7-8 year time jump, maybe seven. So yeah, something like that. And looking at where folks are then
and how we get them back together, because I have to assume we can't just keep them apart this whole time.
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because they have this thing in them. They are not supposed to be together. So what does that mean for a family that has always come together no matter what? When they can't come together, what does that look like, and what are the repercussions if they try, and how do they stay apart? And those are all really fascinating questions that I'm excited to explore in the next season.
Wow. Yeah, you get to answer those.
I know.
Yeah. You have both the burden and the pleasure of figuring out how to answer those.
Yeah.
Sam, any final questions?
Well, are we confirmed yet on how many episodes we're having-ish? Is it going to be similar, or can you not tell us? But I know people are very, very curious. Or when we'll be back.
I don't know when we'll be back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've announced how many episodes either. I don't know if that's been announced yet. I'm not sure.
Okay, so but you mom's the word.
Have you started? Are you working on it yet?
Yeah, we're working.
Great.
We're in the room. Yeah.
Okay.
We're brainstorming things and typing things and doing lots of exploration about what ifs.
And, okay, my last question is, did you watch The Vampire Diaries? It's part of my last question.
I've seen some of The Vampire Diaries, yes.
So are we next season potentially going to be seeing more characters come into this world because The Vampire Diaries is over?
And because we're going to Mystic Falls.
Yeah, because we're going to Mystic Falls.
I would say, I think if our stories organically call for someone from that world to be part of it, then I think that would happen. I don't think anyone's looking to just sort of cram in, crossover things. But certainly we have, we have a lot to explore. The Vampire Diaries series being done, we're not also looking at, like, because they were on a different time schedule than we were at one point, which made those sorts of things a bit of a challenge.
Right.
Got it.
Michelle, I'm sure people still have questions for you or just want to say how freaking awesome you are. And some of them, sure you can't answer them, and some of them you maybe can. So where can everybody keep up with you?
Let's see. On the social.
So
terrible at that. I'm on Twitter at Michelle Paradis. I actually have an E at the end of my name, but
I was
shortened.
Looking at that.
It's weird because, well, Twitter only let, like, you know, they only let you do so much for your name, and then they chopped off my E.
So it's like Michelle Paradise, but no Sam's E.
Yeah, there's like an E floating around there somewhere.
Somewhere
in the ether. So I'm there. That's probably the best place. I'm on Facebook too, but I don't know. I'm really bad at checking these things.
The Twitter is the one to go because then people have to keep their questions limited to 140 characters,
right.
And then you can actually do your job with
fantastic
writing.
Unless they write novels and do screenshots of them, which happens quite a bit.
Yeah. Excellent. I look forward to those as well.
Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
Sam, where can everybody keep up with you in the off season?
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You know I'll talk about this with you at any time during the next 6 to 9 months, however long it takes. You can find me, Sam Davidson, at samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram at samd43.
Do you just make up 6 to 9 months?
I don't know. It's like I'm having a baby that's either premature or it's going to come out when it comes, you know?
Wow.
That would be a really sick baby, I guess.
So we're rooting for a preemie? I don't know how I feel. About this analogy.
Or a postie. It's a 27-pound baby.
One of those. Well, soon enough, guys.
And you guys already heard from Tiana today because she's awesome and called in at the Tiana Hobson. I'm at Roxy Strauer. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, on iTunes, on SoundCloud. Make sure during our time off you're tweeting at us. I know Sam's going to be rewatching every single episode, so she's going to need some.
Basically,
some
if they can't find you, they're crazy.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
No, we're all over the place. We love you guys. Thanks for joining us for this season. And until next season, because we have one.
Yay.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.